Good evening. Another great evening when the saints of God can be together and enjoy one another's company. This, keep in mind, is supposed to be a foretaste of heaven. So if you're not getting along with one of your brothers or sisters somewhere, don't worry about getting along with them in heaven. I'll let you finish that. Let's look at the book of Genesis chapter 22 as I finish the series. Continue the series in regards to our schoolmaster. It is good to see each and every one. Now, I don't know what to say about it. I was pretty slim when I came up here this morning, but I'm kind of bulged out for some reason. I appreciate the presence of each and every one. Let's try to get our minds in tune with God's holy and divine will. Keep in mind that the Old Testament is the Word of God. We can't just throw it away. I don't know why it is. I've gone to a lot of congregations that somehow have lost sight of the fact there are some grand lessons in that part of the Bible. Among the grandest people that you can find in the Old Testament, and in fact, one of the grandest people in human history is the man Abraham. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, when Jehoshaphat was praying for help against Moab and Ammon, he called Abraham the friend of God forever. In Isaiah 41 and verse 8, God calls Abraham my friend. James 2 and verse 23, Abraham is called the friend of God. Why do you reckon it is that God called Abraham his friend? Well, Jesus gives us an idea in John 15, 14. He said, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Therefore, in order to be God's friend, Abraham must have done whatever God commanded him. Probably one of the most difficult things that has ever been required of anyone is found right here in Genesis chapter 22. In Genesis 22 and verse 2, God is talking to Abraham. He said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. And how do you reckon Abraham responded to this? Well, look in verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. He split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. In the New Testament, in James 2:21 says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Abraham is such a prominent figure in the Bible that you find his name in at least 29 books. Matthew in the New Testament begins his book with the genealogy of Jesus with Abraham. And Mark chapter 12 and 26 says, God is the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. You remember the story in Luke 16 verse 22 of the beggar and the rich man? Said the beggar died and was carried by angels to Abraham's bosom. John 8:56, Jesus said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 6, Abraham is called the father of the faithful. And then in the book of Galatians chapter 3 verses 26 through 29, we learn the amazing fact that the sons of God are also the seed of Abraham. Let's see what the Old Testament schoolmaster tells us about Abraham. I want to look at the beginning of Abraham, the promise that was given to him, his descendants, the peace and the faith of Abraham. Now, the story of Abraham begins in Genesis chapter 11. Let's take a look over there. In Genesis 11, verses 27 through 31, we find out that Abraham's original name was Abram, He came from Ur of the Chaldees. His wife's name was Sarah. He went to Haran with his father Terah. In Genesis 12:1 says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your kindred, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Turn over to chapter 18. Now Abram was told by God to leave his kindred. He was to go to a land that God would show him. Hebrews 11 and verse 8 tells us, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going." And we are told why God called Abraham in Genesis 18:19. God says, "For I know him, that he will command his children, his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him." There's a little minor lesson in this, people. You have no idea, perhaps, what God has in mind for you as an individual. He may have something great in mind for you, but there's a way that you must proceed in order to obtain what God has in mind for you. A lot of us might be poking around in the dirt, digging ditches and picking cotton and so forth, because we did not pursue the path that God had chosen for us. Do you not know that we shut out a lot of the blessings that God has stored up for us by just not going in the direction that God has picked for us? Well, Abraham went in that direction. Abraham was held in high regard by God, and thus he was chosen to become the head and the father of a great people who would be trained according to God's law. Now here is one of the first ideas of the principle of separation for God's people. God's people are supposed to be separate from other people. Abraham and his descendants were commanded by God to separate themselves either from his own kinfolk and to keep their ways pure in order to bring a Savior to this planet. It's the same concept that we find in the New Testament in 2 Corinthians 6:17. "Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." If we want to be God's people, we have to separate ourselves from the world. If we're going to be God's people, we have to separate ourselves from everything that is unholy, everything that is sinful. And sometimes, like Abraham, we might even have to separate ourselves from our kinfolk. Jesus said in Matthew 10:37, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." I've seen some members of the church take some hard falls because of members of their family. They want to follow God, but they have such an emotional attachment to their family that sometimes they desert God for the family. Back up with me to chapter 12, Genesis 12. Here's my second point, is the promise to Abraham. In Genesis 12 and verse 1, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your kindred, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Look at these points. Number one, God would make him a great nation. Number two, he would bless him. Number three, he would make his name great. Number four, he would be a blessing to other folks. Number five, he would bless those who blessed him. Number six, he would curse those who cursed him. And number seven, God would bless the families of the earth through Abraham. And God did bless Abraham. In Genesis 13, verse 2, look here. Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. And later on in the book, in Genesis chapter 24, and verse 1, said Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Turn over to chapter 22 with me. God blessed Abraham because Abraham obeyed God. And number two, Abraham trained his children to obey God. And Genesis 22:18 said, in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. The world and the church today needs people that have the same character that Abraham did. People who will believe and obey God. We need fathers and mothers today, especially in the church, who will train their children to obey God. We need men, we need women, we need boys and girls today who will do what God tells them to do, even if their families and friends do not want to do that. School children, I know you have a hard time, but heaven is waiting on us. School children need to obey God even when their teachers and their schoolmates don't. People on the job need to obey God even if their co-workers turn away from God. And we as citizens of this great country, people, we need to obey God even if our president and other politicians do not. This time go with me to the New Testament, Galatians chapter 3. My third point, I'm going to talk about the spiritual descendants of Abraham. The promise to Abraham that all families of the earth would be blessed through his seed was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. You remember in Genesis 22:18, God told Abraham, in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Now in Galatians 3:16, and now to Abraham and his seed where the promise is made, he does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, to your seed who is Christ. The Holy Spirit very specifically tells us that this seed, it is Christ, it is only Christ. And although the specific promise was about Christ, Abraham's physical descendants have blessed us as well. Through Abraham's descendants, the knowledge of the true God was preserved and revealed to the world. Through Abraham's descendants, the scriptures have come down to us. Abraham's first child was Ishmael. Through him came 12 nations. Through Abraham's son Isaac came Jacob and Esau. Esau became the nation of Edom. And Jacob later became the nation of Israel. And it was to Israel that the Old Testament was given to protect and keep it safe through the year. But let me tell you something, people. There was an even greater nation came through Abraham, through the spiritual seed of Abraham. Look at Galatians 3:26. Those who've been baptized into Christ are Abraham's seed. Galatians 3:26, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And this baptism that he's talking about here, that is baptized into Christ, it also puts one into the church of Christ. Way back in Acts chapter 2, long about verse 38, when the people asked Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Unto remission of sin, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Where verse 41 said, they then that gladly received his word were baptized. And there were added unto them that day about 3,000 souls. Added to what? Well, verse 47, praising God, and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church. Daily those were being saved. So when a person is baptized into Christ, he becomes the spiritual seed of Abraham and is added to the church of Christ by Jesus himself. Abraham's descendants, according to the flesh, inherited the land of Canaan. But his descendants in the spirit have become the church of Jesus Christ. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Now concerning the church of Christ, in Ephesians 3 and verse 10, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. The church of Christ was in God's mind from eternity, before he created the universe. And we learn in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 that Abraham's seed, Jesus Christ, purchased this church with his blood. The spiritual descendants of Abraham then are in that church. The spiritual descendants of Abraham are in the church of Christ. And Galatians 3:29 said, if you are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Next point, let's go to Genesis chapter 13. My fourth point is that Abraham was a man of peace. Genesis 13 and verse 5, Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Now, the land was not able to support them that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. So Abram said to Lot, please, let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from it. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left. Here is one of the most beautiful passages on peace and unity that can be found in the whole Bible. There is a great need for people today like Abram, who through loyalty to God and generosity toward his brethren will help to keep peace in the family of God. Now, Abraham was the oldest, and Lot had been adopted evidently by Abraham. Abraham had the right to make Lot move. And if a choice was to be made, Abraham had the right of first choice. But in verse 9, is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, I'll go to the right. If you take the right, then I'll go to the left. You know, people, sometimes like Abraham, we might need to relinquish some of our rights. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 13, therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat lest I make my brother stumble. There'd be a whole lot less trouble in the world today if everyone had the spirit of Abraham. How do you think we could get along with each other if everyone else would say, let there be no strife between us because we are brethren? If everyone had the attitude like Abraham, we'd be able to get rid of all the contentions, all of the divisions, all the bitter feelings. Like Paul said in Romans 12:18, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. You know, if everybody had the attitude like Abraham, there wouldn't be any denominations, because denominations are divisions. 1 Corinthians 1:10 to the church. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Go with me to Matthew 10. As big a man as was Abraham, if he could be careful to avoid strife, why can't we? You know, the problem is everybody doesn't have the same peaceful attitude that Abraham had. And not everyone is willing to submit themselves to God as did Abraham. Matthew 10:34, Jesus said, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Problem is, we are not going to be able to get some people to agree with us because they're not in agreement with God. The same sword of the gospel that unites those who love God also divides those who do not love God. Anytime there is a division in the religious world, somebody doesn't love God. Every time there is a division in the church of Christ, somebody does not love God. 1 John 4:21, Jesus said, this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Who are those people who love God? Well, 1 John 5:3 said, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandment. It's very easy then to pick out people who love God, isn't it? And what did God say in Mark 16:15? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be damned. People, if everybody would render obedience to that statement, we'd have a big happy family. We wouldn't have any religious division on this planet. Those people who love God will obey the gospel and they will be baptized. Those people who obey the gospel will also be added to the church of Christ, which he purchased with his own blood. And people who are members of the church of Christ are brethren in the family of God. Remember what Paul said to the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians 1:10, that there be no divisions among you. Paul said there shouldn't be any strife in God's family. Problem we have, folks, if there are some folks who are going to cause division. There are some folks who are going to cause strife in God's family. Well, God gives some instructions concerning those people as well. In Romans 16:17, now I urge you, brethren, note those or mark those who cause the divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learn, and avoid them. So if you got people in the church that are causing strife and division, and you try to talk with them and try to deal with them according to God's word, and they won't pay any attention, Paul said, avoid them. Don't hang around them. Go somewhere else if necessary. Let's go to Genesis 18 this time. Genesis 18:20. God came to see Abraham one time. And he tells him in Genesis 18:20, the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, God was about to destroy the cities of the plain He was determined to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of their wickedness. Abraham begins a little discussion with God in verse 24. Suppose there were 50 righteous in the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? Well, verse 26, the Lord said he would spare them for 50 righteous. Well, in verse 28, Abraham said, what about 45? Verse 29, suppose there were 40. Verse 30, suppose there were 30. He whittled God all the way down to verse 31. How about 20? God wouldn't destroy him for 20. And then in verse 32, he said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak but once more. Suppose 10 should be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. The destiny of an entire city, people, depended upon the presence of 10 righteous souls. Abraham had prevailed upon the Lord to save the city for just 10 righteous souls. Very small number. But 10 righteous souls couldn't be found. Isn't that terrible? Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 6 this time. I wonder somebody, a lot of times, bad as our country getting, what is the number that God has before this one gets taken away? As much as some dislike thinking about it, the Old Testament schoolmaster teaches, with the example of Sodom and Gomorrah, that there are some people who are fit to be destroyed. That's terrible to say a thing like that, isn't it? Even more important, Abraham could not stop the destruction of those people who are fit to be destroyed. Some people are beyond salvation. Some people are beyond salvation because they will not be saved. It is not that God cannot be saved. Some people don't want to go to heaven. Now that might strike a little spark somewhere in some of our minds. Some people, let me tell you folks, there's some people right in our own area that wouldn't be happy if they went to heaven. You know why? Because they couldn't practice the lustful lifestyles that they have in heaven. That's all that some people on this planet do. They pursue their lust. Everything that they do on their jobs on the weekend, they take the majority of their money and spend it in the direction of their lust. They don't want to go to heaven because there are a lot of things on this planet in which they take pleasure that you won't find in heaven. Job 21 and verse 14, there's some people who say to God, depart from us, for we do not desire the knowledge of your ways. I've gone to some people, start talking to about the Bible and say, I don't want to hear that stuff. Get away from me, preacher. In Jeremiah 6 and verse 12, thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you'll find rest for your souls. Look here. But they said, we will not walk in it. Jesus told some people in John 5 and verse 40, you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. God has designed and given the gospel for everyone, but he is not going to force anyone to obey it. Let's go back to the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 2 this time. As a man of peace, Abraham laid the foundation for future generations. As the spiritual seed of Abraham, we can have peace in Christ Jesus. Look in Ephesians 2:14. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who are far off and to those who are near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. One of the greatest hostilities that has ever existed between groups of men in the history of humanity was that which existed between the Jews and the Gentiles in the first century. Now, if Jews and Gentiles can get along in the same religious organization, what about the rest of us, people? Peace is in the body of Christ. Peace is in the church of Christ. And the only way to get into the church of Christ is through baptism. Remember again, Acts 2:41. They then that gladly received his word were baptized, and there were added unto them that day about 3,000 souls. And verse 47, we learned that it was the church to which they were added. But God's not going to force anyone to be baptized, folks. God's not going to force anyone to come to that peace that he has waiting in the church of Christ. Jesus said in John 7:17, a great principle, if any man is willing to do his will, he shall know of the teaching. For my next point, let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Point number 5. Abraham was a man of faith. Hebrews 11 and verse 8 said, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would afterward receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. James 2:23 said, the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Abraham believed God. But when the Bible talks about that Abraham believed God, this was no mere mental assent to the existence of God. Abraham didn't just believe that there was a divine power out there somewhere. Abraham was a man of faith, but not faith only. The faith of Abraham was an obedient faith. Hebrews 11 and verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed. And as James said, Abraham's faith is a working faith. In fact, there ain't no other kind, pardon my friend. Go with me to James chapter 2. James 2:20. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? God promised Abraham a seed line through Isaac. Then God told Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. And Abraham got up early the next morning, grabbed Isaac, and he took off to kill him. Hebrews 11 and verse 8 said, by faith Abraham obeyed. Abraham was a man of faith. What kind of faith? An obedient faith. Faith that did what God said regardless of what God said. Regardless of how strange it might sound, Abraham did what God said. I wonder sometimes, do we have faith? We say we have faith. What kind of faith do we have? Romans 10:17, faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Our faith must be based upon what God says. Our faith must be an obedient faith. You remember what Jesus says? Romans 10:17, faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The word of God tells us something Jesus said in Mark 16:15, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be damned. Now, what kind of faith do we have? Do we have enough faith to obey what God says in Mark 16:15-16? Now, I know that baptism sounds strange to a lot of folks, especially when there are some preachers who are preaching against it. You know what? It probably seemed strange when God told Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. But God didn't question. Abraham didn't question God. Why? Because he was a man of faith, and faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. A man of faith will do what God says. It does not matter what God says. And so when God says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, a man of faith will be baptized. You know the problem you have with people not wanting to be baptized? They don't have faith. You understand? They don't have an obedient faith. Go with me to Acts chapter 8. Romans 10:17, faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. A man of faith will do exactly what God said. Mark 16:16, God says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Now, I know that might sound strange to some folks, but it's what God said. Look at another man of faith. People need faith like Abraham. There's a man of that kind of faith recorded in Acts chapter 8. When Philip was teaching the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8 and verse 35, Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Here is water. Why do you reckon he said that? Well, Philip was doing what? Preaching Jesus. Well, isn't it Jesus who said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved? Now, that might seem strange to a lot of people. It wasn't so strange to the eunuch. I doubt if it's any stranger than what Abraham did when God told him to do it. So we might ask the question, do you have faith? Well, exactly what kind of faith do you have? Do you have an obedient faith? Romans 10:17, faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God tells us in Hebrews 5 and verse 8 about Jesus, though he were a son, yet learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became unto all them that obey him, the author of eternal salvation. And I'm not trying to be sneaky, but Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Jesus also said in Revelation 2:10, that we need to be faithful into death in order to receive the crown of life. You know, Abraham didn't leave anything in writing as far as we have any record. He didn't establish any kind of school or religion, any kind of institution. We don't have any kind of philosophy that's been handed down by him. He didn't build any cities. He didn't establish any kind of a kingdom yet. With the exception of Jesus Christ, there's no man who ever lived that was greater than Abraham. Abraham became an important man in God's eyes. Go with me to Galatians chapter 3. Abraham didn't consult his own wisdom. He didn't try to find a way around what God said. He simply obeyed. He simply did what God said for him to do. By faith, Abraham obeyed. Have you obeyed? You know, sometimes like Abraham, we might have to separate ourselves from our kinfolk in order to obey God. Sometimes we might have to do something that sounds strange to our ears in order to obey God. But you know something we need to do? Whatever is necessary, whatever it takes, to obey God. Whatever God says, we need to obey it. Whatever we gain or accomplish in this life, well, my old buddy Jerry Westmoreland used to say, if you miss heaven, you miss it all. Now I know you want to go to heaven. I know you are interested in things that are right. By your very presence, Jerry, you prove that. But if you want to go to heaven, if you want to get to heaven, you're going to have to do what God says. Let me tell you something. Corey and I live in a house in Sumter. Nobody, that's my house while I'm in there. There ain't nobody, pardon my French, that gets in that house if I don't invite them in. I set the condition for whoever comes in the house. Somebody come knocking on the door, I don't just throw open the door and say, come in. I look at them. And if I haven't seen them before, I want to know what their business is. God lives in heaven. God lives in heaven. It's God who decides that gets into heaven, people. Not any preacher down here, not a pope, not any man on this planet. God decides. Look here in Galatians 3:24. Therefore, the law was our tutor, or the King James said, schoolmaster, to bring us to Christ. This is what God is saying, that we might be justified by faith, but after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor or schoolmaster. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Are you Abraham's seed? Have you been baptized into Christ? Are you at peace with your brethren? Are you a man of faith? Is your faith a working faith like Abraham's was? I know that there are some times that people who are not that well acquainted with the Bible, and we begin to have a study with them, we might show them something like Mark 16:16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. I've never seen that. That's not what my preacher taught. That's not the way my mom and daddy was raised. Well, this is God's book. And it might sound strange to you, but it's not strange to God. God knows exactly what it takes for Ron Wilson to get to heaven, and that's why I have this book. God knows exactly what it takes for you to get to heaven, and he's already put it in this book. You want to go to heaven? Maybe we can help you get there. Let us know what your needs are after we stand and sing a song, please.